The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Now, I know we have the bulletin and the messages in the bulletin, but not all the scriptures are in there because there's not enough room. So I hope today you all brought your Bible and follow along with us. I mean, you can see where the scriptures are. You can even turn there ahead of time so you can really be there, because it's really important that you see it, that you read it, that it's in front of your eyes, because I don't know about you, but I learn better when I can see it. I need to hear it and I need to see it. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's read our scriptures. We're going to start out with Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Today we're talking, the title of our message is Speak Life. Can you say that with me? Speak Life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:23 in the Amplified says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. The King James says, with all diligence, guard your heart. All the issues of your life, everything that pertains to you, everything that pertains to your life, springs out of your heart. Hallelujah. Many people try to make it about external things, but your life has to do with your heart. So make sure that you protect your heart. Matthew 12:33-37 says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure, or a good woman out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man or woman out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, and we're going to be judged by every idle word. Now that word idle actually means that it's an inoperative, non-working word. Let's talk about the root and the fruit. We got to diligently guard our heart. Change comes from the inside out. You know, we always want to change from the outside in. In fact, religion always tries to make us change from the outside in. Religion is always trying to change our behavior from the outside in. But God wants to come and change you from the inside out. And that's why Jesus came, to give you a brand new heart. Hallelujah. He changes you. Everything he does, he changes you from the inside out. And if you will trust him with the process, the Bible says that the same Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. That means make alive. So the Spirit of God on the inside of you is going to make alive your body. It's going to bring healing and strength. It's going to make alive your mind. Hallelujah. And help you to conquer all of those strongholds that have been built up to a life living in the world. Hallelujah. So change comes from the inside out. That's the thing that needs to change, and then you know, the outside will begin to change. That's the thing when we're raising kids, we need to teach them. When they're little, the correction comes from the outside in. But as they grow up, they need to learn to have self-restraint. They need to learn to have self-control. They need to have boundaries that they form in their own life. Hallelujah. So that's our job as a parent, is to teach our kids to have those boundaries changing from the inside out, not just the outside in. Because from the outside in, you're always going to have to lock people up. You're always going to have to put them in jail. You're always going to have to corral them some way. But if you change someone's heart, amen, they're going to do what's right all by themselves. So your heart, your thoughts, your attitude, if they're good, then that fruit is going to be good. The fruit is the manifestation of what's in your heart. With children, you sow and you sow and you sow into them. And as teenagers, that's when you start seeing the fruit of what you're sowing. And then it's a little too late to try and prune and try and fix it. So we got to sow those good seeds from the beginning, and then we're going to see the good fruit when the time comes for the fruit. But if your heart, your thoughts, your attitude are bad or corrupt, then the fruit is going to be bad and corrupt. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever your heart is full of, that is eventually going to come out of your mouth. You can try and hide it. You can try and, act like nobody knows what's going on. You can think nobody knows what's going on in your heart. Well, first of all, God always knows what's going on. But if you keep on meditating on things that are not helpful for you, that are corrupting, if you keep meditating on things that are corrupting, eventually that is what's going to come out of your mouth. Amen. And people, it's like they can't help it. People will just, and you know, there's that saying that basically says, you know, no truer word was spoken in jest. So people joke. They say something, I'm just joking. Pastor Rodney calls those things leaves. People drop leaves. So they try to cover up, and they try to hide what's going on the inside, but they'll drop little leaves. They'll say something here, they'll say something there. And if you are in tune with the Holy Ghost, you can pick up, what was that? What was that? What was that? Amen. Hallelujah. Like you get a lot of guys, when they're around the ladies, they behave themselves. When they get with the other guys, they talk things that they should not be talking. Listen, I don't care if guys talk like that in the world. You are a new creature. You don't talk like that. Amen. And if you're a man of God, that stuff is not going to even be in your heart, and it's definitely not going to be coming out of your mouth. They say birds of a feather, you know, flock together. So people will always try and find someone else to help them compromise. That can feel better about their compromise. So we know you by your friends. If you're hanging around radical, on fire, soul winners, we know that's in your heart. But if you're always running towards the backsliders and the compromisers, then we know that that's what's in your heart. Amen. So we're going to have to give an account for every random, put in today's language, every random word, unthinking word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to have to give an account. So some of you might listen. Everything you do, good and bad, is written down in heaven, and you're going to have to give an account. Now, if you're born again and you know Jesus, you're going to go to heaven, but you're going to have to give an account for these things. You're going to be rewarded for the things that you've done that were in line with God's word, and you're going to be, you know, judged on the things that you did and said that were out of line with God's word. The good news is you can ask him to forgive you. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy about that? Because when you get saved, you're not automatically fixed. You're a work in progress. Each and every one of us is a work in progress. The Bible says when we see him, we'll be like him. But until then, he's working on us. So we're going to do dumb stuff. How many of you still every now and again do say something silly or do something and you think, oh my word, where did that come from? I'm so sorry, Lord. So it's always wonderful to be able to go say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. That was wrong. And it gets washed away by the blood of Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, it's not written in the book and it's not held against you. Amen. So it's always good. You know, you spring clean your house. It's good to do a spring clean of your heart. Lord, if there's anything in there, show me. Anything I need to deal with, anything I need to repent of, show me. And be quick to repent. Don't hang on to things. Don't try and hide. God sees it anyway. Come to him, bring it to him. Get it off. Get it off the table. Get it cleaned out. Get it rubbed out of the book and never held against you. Praise God for that. But we have a responsibility before God to speak life-giving words. Jesus exercised his authority by speaking. God created the whole universe by speaking. He said, he said, he said, he said, and it came to being. In the Garden of Eden, how do you think that they operated? They operated by the words of their mouth, by faith in the words of their mouth. Because when they sinned, what happened? God had to inform them, okay, now this speaking thing is not going to work for you like it did before. I mean, it's still going to work, but now you're going to have to work with your hands. Amen. So that's a curse of the fall. But God has anointed us to speak. He's given us the authority by the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, all authority is given to me because he defeated the devil on our behalf. And then he gave that authority to us. To do what? To speak. You know, people want to go, oh, God is sovereign, and just sit back and do nothing. Yeah, maybe he is, but he's called you to do something. You are his mouthpiece on the earth. You are the one. Jesus left. Jesus left. He didn't leave us an orphan. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He anointed us with the wisdom, with the authority, with the power to speak God's word. Amen. And to speak God's will into the earth. And if we don't know what to pray and we don't know what to say and we don't know what to ask for, he gives us tongues. Hallelujah, the language of heaven. So when we don't know, we can pray God's perfect will. You need to pray, be praying God's perfect will every day of your life. You need to pray in tongues. The Bible says to charge yourself up spiritually, but you need to be praying in tongues over your life because you don't know what's coming. Amen. You don't even know what to pray for. You don't know what's ahead. But in everything we do, we need to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost because we are praying the perfect will of God over our lives, over our family's life, over our city, over our country, over our nation, over our church. Hallelujah. God wants to use you to pray. And then he wants you also, we need to confess God's word over all of those things that I just mentioned. Amen. So it's up to us. He's put the responsibility on us. Your words shape your life. You are a product of everything you've been saying up till now. And a lot of times we don't want to hear that. We don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to take responsibility for that. But where you are now is as a result of what has come out of your mouth. And what come out of your mouth is your thought process. Amen. So today we're talking about the words coming out of your mouth, but we're also talking about going back and dealing with the root of it, which is your thought process, how you think, why you think. Amen. So you have to have a paradigm shift, as they might say in the world. But we need a shift in what we're saying. And you know, the good thing is we don't have to wait until we feel like it. We can just by faith begin to confess God's word. Amen. By faith, we can begin to confess God's word, whether we feel like it or not. It has nothing to do with your feelings. You need to tell your feelings what to feel. In the world, when you didn't have Jesus, you were completely run by your feelings, which come out of your emotions, your head, your mind, your intellect. But now you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Amen. And so we need to run and operate our life out of the Holy Ghost on the inside, the Holy Ghost that lives in us, our own spirit. Your words and your attitude are going to produce either death or life as you speak. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Words can bring health to your bones. Words can bring health to your body. If you've been to healing school, you know the importance of speaking life over your body and speaking healing and speaking blessing over yourself and your body. And then Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. What's that? Attitude. So it's your words and your attitude can bring life and healing and blessing and prosperity to every area of your life or the other stuff. If you want to change your future, change your words. Amen. You need to speak good words over your life. Even better, you need to speak God's word over your life. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, says, I'm reading King James, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, in the 90s, everybody went crazy pulling strongholds out of the heavenlies and just, it was like a dog running around chasing their own tail. And they got nowhere and they just hashed up everything. Listen, Jesus already defeated the devil. There is no warfare that you need to do for the heavenlies to, when Jesus, the heavens already opened. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and they did not close again. We are not living under an old covenant. We are living under a new covenant. We're living in victory. We have victory over the enemy. Hallelujah. The strongholds that we have to deal with are the strongholds in our own mind. Notice it talks there about strongholds, imaginations, things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, that argue and fight with. The devil is always going to argue with the word. Argue with the word. Argue with the word. So if you're sitting and someone's preaching, and especially if they're reading scripture, not just giving opinion, and your head is arguing, you know where that comes from. You know the source of it. That's the devil arguing, questioning. Has God said? Are you sure God said that? Are you sure? That's demons from hell. We need to bind them, tell them, sit down and shut up, devil. I'm going to believe God's word. I don't care what. Amen. Hallelujah. The way that you bring down, pull down strongholds is by preaching the word of God in your own life, by reading the word of God, listening to the word of God, filling, renewing your mind. As you renew your mind, you tear down strongholds, you take that old nonsense and you shove it out and you replace it with the new. You take that old structure down and you build a new structure. Amen. That is the word of God, this your renewed mind. That doesn't come overnight. It's a process. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Keep in the word. Keep renewing your mind, and you will begin to break down those strongholds, and you will begin to build new awesome buildings that are built by the hands of God. Amen. And you'll begin to think like Jesus, and you'll begin to operate like him. So Jesus defeated the enemy. We don't have to defeat him again. We just need to enforce what Jesus has already done. The devil is already defeated. He's going to try and bring you down into the arena and fight him, but he's already defeated, and you just have to remind him of that. And you do what Jesus did. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. You can't reason with him. Just tell him, look, this it is written, and that's it. This is what the Bible says, devil, and that is it. Jesus told us to occupy till he comes. An occupying army doesn't fight. An occupying army, the battle's already won. They're just in there to enforce that defeat and make sure that territory stays claimed for the victor, who is Jesus. Hallelujah, and the body of Christ. So we, the occupying army, we're maintaining our victorious status. Hallelujah. We do not fight with natural weapons, but spiritual. Ephesians 6, 11 through 17 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So again, we're not talking about things in the heavenlies. That when you preach, the Bible says, when we preach the word of God, the word is the rock that breaks, that the hammer that breaks that rock in pieces. So we just keep hammering, 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 preaching, 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 preaching. You're gonna preach people through. But you got to preach a word. You can't preach opinions. Opinions don't do anything in someone's life. You got to preach the raw word and demonstrate the power of God. Hallelujah. You see, the god of this world, the Bible talks about the devil, has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. So preaching the gospel is going to open their eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. So first of all, you need to stand your ground. Having done all to stand, stand. Don't let the devil steal the word of God. We're not going to go into it now, but you know, in Mark it talks about the sower sows the seed, and it talks about the seed being the word of God, and it shows us very clearly how the devil operates to steal the word of God from people. Amen. And so everybody needs to know that, and so that you can recognize when the devil is operating and you can take authority over that. Amen. And not allow him to steal that precious seed of the word that is sown in your heart. So stand your ground. Now, the loins girt with truth. So loins, your loins dressed in the truth. So your loins, that's like your hip area. This is where your strength comes from. This is your strength. This is your foundation, is these bones. This biggest bone here beside your skull is your hips. And this is where your strength is. So your strength, your loins, your foundation. We need to receive and believe what God has done and what he has done. We need to receive the truth. We need to embrace the truth. We need to be hungry for the truth. We need to allow the truth to change us. Now, people don't always want to hear the truth because it's uncomfortable. I mean, how many can remember, especially when you first saved, you know, and you're a work in progress and you're changing, you don't always want to hear the truth. Amen. I mean, I was obsessed with astrology when I got saved. And so, anyways, but the Holy Ghost was working on me, but I didn't want to let it go. It was like, no, it wasn't the horoscope thing. It was the when's your birthday, this is your personality, because, you know, people fascinate me, they still do, but thank God now we can, you know, the Bible says that we don't see people anymore after the flesh, but we see them as after the spirit. We see what God has made. And so my cousin came to me and she said, you know, you need to give that up. Now thank God for people in your life that can talk straight to you and tell you, now you know you need to give that up. And obviously the Holy Ghost was already working on me. So sometimes you got to just let the Holy Ghost work, but there's sometimes you need to go and say something when you're led by the Lord to say, and she said it now. And I got angry at her, but I knew she was telling me the truth. So people might get mad when you tell them the truth, but in their heart they know. And so I submitted, and I actually put them away up in a high closet for a whole month. And I thought, okay, I didn't want to totally let go of them, so I put them up for a month. And after 30 days, I pulled them down, and I let my mother burn them with all the other stuff she was burning. When we got saved, we burned a lot of stuff in the backyard. Some of you haven't burned some of your stuff, and some of you need to go burn some of your books, and you need to go burn some of your records, and you need to, you know, in those days it was records, and you need to break it. Don't even give it to someone else. Just break it. Destroy it. And put it in the trash. You don't need any of that attachment to your old life. Amen. It's a brand new life. Amen. I'm not talking about burning good books. I'm talking about burning junk books, and we had a lot of junk because, anyways, we'll get into all that. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. I'm so glad he saved me. Aren't you glad he found you and he saved you? Thank you, Jesus. Then the breastplate of righteousness, covering your heart, covering your vital organs. Righteousness. We need to be born again. Hallelujah. We need to be in right standing with God. It's very important, firstly, that we get born again, that we become a new creation in Christ, and then secondly, that we are in right standing with God, and we maintain that right standing, like I spoke about earlier, by asking God to forgive us when we make a mistake, when we get out of line, when we develop a bad attitude, when we do something we shouldn't do. Don't run away from God. Run to him. That's what the devil tries to get us to sin, and then he harps on it, makes us feel guilty to try and keep us away from the presence of God. But if you read the story of the prodigal, what was the dad doing? He was waiting, he was watching. He didn't go run after the kid. He let the kid figure it out by himself, but he went out every day looking for him. He didn't have a servant come say, hey, look, your son's over there. He saw him. The Bible says he saw him a long way away. He was expecting him to come back. And he saw him a long way away, and what did he do? He embraced him. The kid probably smelled really bad. He'd been hanging out with the pigs for how long? He didn't, you know, in his old dirty clothes, whatever. He didn't even wait to wash him. He just, like, put the robe on him, put the ring on him, put the shoes on him, and said, let's throw a party. So God is always there waiting to welcome you home. You never have to worry about that. Amen. So keep your heart right with God. Gospel shoes. We all need to have gospel shoes. You need to be trained in the gospel. You need to know what your covenant is. You need to know what the promises are that God has promised you. Amen. You need to know your own covenant. You need to understand everything God's done for you. And then you need to take those gospel shoes, because shoes are on feet that are going somewhere, and you need to go share with somebody else what you have. Amen. I mean, you know, if we share everything else, if we find something awesome, great ice cream place, or, you know, a great movie or whatever, we're going to be sharing that. So how much more, how awesome to be able to share eternity with someone, the best gift you could ever give. Hallelujah. So it has to do, gospel shoes, they have to do with your relationship, plus God giving you a ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So you don't have to be a preacher to lead someone to Jesus. You can lead anybody to Jesus anytime, anywhere. Amen. The shield of faith. Praise God. The shield of faith, you can move it. It can cover you anywhere. You can put it anywhere. You need extra reinforcing. And you know, one of the things you'll notice as we go through this, that there's no armor for your backside. Because you're not supposed to be retreating, and you're not supposed to be running. The Bible says that the enemy will run away from you. That's God's promise. 7 ways. Amen. So we never have to back off. We never have to retreat, because we have God on our side, and he's behind us. He's watching over us. But that shield of faith, you can put it any way that you need to put it. We need to put all of our faith and all of our trust into him and into his ability. We need to trust, rely, and lean wholly on Him. Whatever the enemy aims at you is going to fizzle out and it's going to fail. What does it say? It quenches the darts. The devil might be sending fiery darts. I mean, there's one thing worse than an arrow coming at you. It's an arrow on fire. But that shield of faith puts those darts out and neutralizes the enemy, neutralizes his plans. I pray that whatever the enemy has planned against you will be neutralized in Jesus' name. He will not have his way in your life and your family. Then the helmet of salvation. You got to familiarize yourself with the Word of God and His promises. Like we've mentioned, renew your mind. The word salvation means basically salvation, you know, brand new creation, saved, going to heaven, healed, restored, delivered, blessed. Really, every aspect of your life is encapsulated in that word Zoe, that word salvation. Everything you need from God. Praise God. So the helmet has to do with your thought life. So you need to protect your thought life again, renew your mind, fill your mind up with the Word. Particularly when you're going through a hard time, fill your mind up with the Word of God. Don't go watch a movie. Don't go complain to a friend. Go and put the Word of God on and just listen to it. Listen to it. You need to have this paper Word of God, not just the thing that can run out of batteries, but then you need to have, they have Bible on tape. It's free. They have all kinds of programs, Bible on tape, and you can be playing it all day long anyway. When you're driving in the car, turn on the Bible on tape. Amen. And be listening to it. Be listening to it. Let that work in you and on you and become real to you. Anything that you need to learn, you need to repeat over and over again. So the Word of God is never boring. I'm telling you, there's always something new and something fresh that you can get out of it. It might be the same scripture that you've seen and you've read 100 times, and suddenly one day it'll go pop and something else will come out that you never saw. How many of you have ever had that? Oh, it's always new. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to take time to meditate on God's Word. Take a scripture and just mull it over in your mind all day long. Think about it. Work on it. Kind of like the cow. You know, the cows eat the grass and then they like pop it back up again and keep chewing it. It's called chewing the cud. Well, you kind of need to be like that with the Word of God. I know that sounds gross, but it's not. You know, you just need to pop it up. And, you know, because sometimes the Lord will quicken a scripture to you. Well, He's trying to speak to you about something. Just take that, go read it again, and just keep on meditating on that word as He speaks to you. So meditate on His word, renew your mind. And then also the helmet of salvation has to do with resisting temptation. Resisting temptation. Listen, God doesn't speak to your head. God speaks to your heart. A lot of people are trying to hear God in their head. A lot of people have random thoughts and they think it's the Holy Ghost. No. Your head is going to make up some crazy stuff. How many of you know what I'm saying? You know, God gave you an imagination. He didn't give it to you for the bad, to imagine the bad stuff. He gave it to you to imagine good things. Amen. And to have vision and plan. That's great. But your head's, I mean, how many of you ever had some wacky dreams? Maybe you had one last night. Yeah, your head comes up with some crazy stuff. So God doesn't speak to your head. He speaks to your heart. So if you're going to listen to Him, you need to listen down here. This is where you need to listen for God. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he comes and he puts thoughts in your mind. And you know, I know, particularly when I was a baby Christian, the devil will come put a thought in your mind. And listen, you just because you have a thought, it doesn't mean you have to keep it around. You can kick it out straight away. As the preacher said, you know, the birds may fly over our head, but they don't have to make a nest in our hair. So you can eject the thought as soon as it comes in. And there have been times when I was battling with a thought, especially when I was a brand new Christian, and I would just take the previous scripture and I said, Father, I cast down every vain imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought in the name of Jesus. That thought would leave my head so fast, I couldn't even remember what it was. And that was confirmation to me. That was the devil. You like devil, you stinking devil. That wasn't me. You're trying to put thoughts in my head that are contrary to the Word of God. Well, I'm going to tell you where to go. Amen. Hallelujah. So resist those temptations when they come. God has empowered you to do that. Make God's word the final authority in your life. Don't be pulled this way and that way by opinions, by outside influences. The world is very ready to give you their opinion and influence you. They're trying very hard to you know, force you into into their way of thinking. So resist the urge to be sucked into ungodly ways of thinking. Make God's word final authority. And let me tell you, it's a battle. It's a battle. For anybody you know, the devil will come with those thoughts. Just the same way that he has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever, the devil will try to come and trip up believers and put doubt, sow doubt in your heart and sow doubt in your mind. And you have to resist. You have to resist that spirit of religion. Amen. You have to resist those unbelieving, fearful spirits, because they're going to come against everybody's mind. I don't care if you're a preacher or you just got saved. You're going to have some crazy thoughts coming against you. And so that's why you got to stay in the Word. That's why it's good to have Holy Ghost friends. That's why it's good to have people that can pray with you and that can encourage you and help you to keep focused on the Word of God when you're tempted to look away and to look at the opinions of the world and those influences and get sucked into that screwy mess, that you can have people that speak life and speak with authority and speak the word to you. Amen. So that's our responsibility as ministers, whether we're an evangelist or whether we're a pastor. It's our responsibility to get up and preach the truth and to encourage you to stay on track. Amen. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit, praise God. This is the only weapon that's the offensive weapon. Everything else is for defense, but this is offense. So you don't just stand back and let things happen to you. You get up and you get after them. You don't just sit back and let the devil just throw stuff at you and fire his darts at you and just sit there, you know, and like ducking and diving. No, you take the word of God. You go after him and skewer him. You go after him. You get on the offensive with the devil. Praise God. Speak God's word. Confess God's word to neutralize the enemy and the work of the enemy. Confess God's word to cause your thinking and your believing to line up with his word and with his will for you, for your life, for your kids, for your family. It's very important that you teach your children this from very small. You teach them about confession. You teach them the word. You teach them to speak God's word. They receive it. They don't have a bunch of stuff to unlearn. I mean, how many of you had a bunch of stuff to unlearn when you got saved? I know I did. I had a bunch of stuff to unlearn, but thank God. You know, with kids, they don't have a bunch of nonsense to unlearn. So you just fill them up with the word of God, and they'll just tell them, they'll just believe it. You know, I can remember, Pastor Rodney shared the other day that little AJ, our three-year-old grandbaby going on for four, he's wearing a pull-up and heading out the door, and his parents are like, "Where are you going?" And no, he was going down the road to all the people with the Halloween decorations outside their house to tell them about Jesus, because he knew they needed to hear about Jesus. And they're like, "Okay, not in your diaper, you know, not in your pull-up." And my own daughter, when she was three, Kirsten, my oldest, she was always around Christians, so I had to sit her down and explain to her that not everybody's saved, because I didn't want her to see some unsaved people and go, "Oh, what's going on here?" Because everybody she saw around her pretty much was church people. And so I had explained, not everybody knows Jesus, but I told her, but it's our job to tell them. That kid, she went straight out. I mean, there was a lady that I was standing talking to that I wasn't sure if she was saved or not. She didn't go to church with us, just an acquaintance. And that little three-year-old, I just told her this. She immediately tugged on the lady's skirt. "Do you have Jesus in your heart?" And the lady just sort of ignored her. "Do you have Jesus in your heart?" I mean, three times, and finally the lady just said, "Yes." I don't think she did, but the Holy Ghost was convicting her through the three-year-old. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now listen. There's a proof, scientific proof, basically, that you believe your own voice. Come on, yeah. You believe the things that come out of your own mouth, whether it's faith or whether it's doubt and unbelief. You believe your own confession. Your own words, your own confession has the most influence, the most power in your own life. And that's why it's good to confess. So I know that some people will take their confessions that they say and they'll put it on tape and they'll just play it and say it along. So if you're saying it, if you're playing it to yourself, if you're saying it along, your own voice has a huge influence in your life of the way that you think. So it's important to hear your own voice, Because listen, everybody has an inner tape recorder. You know what I'm saying? You have this inner tape recorder that keeps on, and it's usually a tape recorder of doubt and unbelief. It's been there for a very long time. It was put there when you were a kid, and it's telling you things. So you have to replace the recording on your tape recorder. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You got to replace the recording on your tape recorder, and the only way you do that is by confessing God's word. That's why when I got saved, there was all kinds of things on my tape recorder. So there's all kinds of things that had been said over me. So I took them all and I wrote them down and I twisted it around to the positive, and I began to confess the opposite. I began to confess God's word over myself and my life until those things were no longer an issue. Amen. Hallelujah. So whatever you need, write down what God's word says. Listen, God has a promise for every single situation in your life. How many of you know that? God has a promise for every situation in your life. Thank God for that. And whenever you run out of promises, ask Him for another one. Amen. Because there's always new day and new challenges that we have to face and overcome. God, I need your help today. I need a fresh word, and God will give it to you, whatever realm it's in. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether it's healing or blessing or whatever, the Lord is going to, He'll quicken you a fresh scripture and a fresh word for you. So speak God's word, first of all, to change your thinking, to change your mouth ultimately. So you keep confessing the word, by faith you confess until that just becomes your confession and it becomes what you believe and it becomes what you say automatically. Amen. And then speak God's word to change your circumstances. But before your circumstances change, you have to change. Amen. From the inside out. Okay, so let's talk about calling things into existence. We need to be speaking over ourselves only what the word of God says about us and call those things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. In the King James says, as it's written, I've made you a father of many nations, Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. If God says it, he'll do it. Amen? And then in the Amplified, it says, God gives life to the dead, speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. So as far as God is concerned, it's already done. We just need to get in agreement with him. Amen? So listen, you can't say, I'm not sick, because that would be a lie. So you got to do what God says. You can say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. You can't say, oh, I'm not poor. You say, I am blessed. So God always brings it into the positive. Isn't that awesome? So leave the nots off of there and just confess the positives. I am blessed. I am healed. I am delivered. I am triumphant. I am an overcomer. Praise God. You'll notice that even in Isaiah 53, which is Old Covenant, it says, by His stripes we are healed. That was Old Covenant. That Isaiah 53 is prophesying Jesus, and it's saying, are healed. How could that be? Because Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the earth. God's plan was already in motion. Amen. Hallelujah. And as far as God's concerned, it was an are right now. And then once Jesus already paid the price and did it, 1 Peter 2:24, New Testament, by whose stripes you were healed. Past tense, you were healed. You're not trying to get healed. You were 2,000 years ago. You were. You just need to appropriate it. You just need to let the devil know, hey, you can't have me anymore. You can't touch me anymore. You can't make me sick. Because by Jesus' stripes, I was. Jesus took that stuff. He took it on him. Why do I have to? No, I don't have to walk in that. I can walk in divine health. Hallelujah. As far as God's concerned, I'm walking in divine health. As far as He's concerned, I was saved, healed, delivered, and blessed. If I was, then I is. Then I am right now. I don't have to wait. It's not a future thing. It's already been done. The manifestation just needs to take place, and I'm going to keep believing it, and I'm going to keep confessing it until I see the manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's all that we have to say about that. Hallelujah. So it was restored through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Already done. Praise God. So we need to speak the promises of God over our life. Here's just a few scriptures quickly that we're going to go through. Joel 3:10 says this, let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Then 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So let the poor say, I am blessed. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let the sick say, I am healed. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. You can say, I was a sinner and I got saved by grace, but you're no longer a sinner because you have been forgiven. You are a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. So you can say, I am forgiven. I am a new creature. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So as we renew our minds, what happens? We become more and more like Jesus. The image of Jesus is formed in us when we renew our minds. Hallelujah. So say this, I am created in his image. Hallelujah. I look just like him. Then 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say that with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is the world? The world gives temporary peace. The peace of the world, we only can have peace when there's actual physical peace. But Jesus said, I don't give you peace like that. I give you peace. What kind of peace? Peace in spite of the circumstances. Peace that comes from within. That in the middle of the most crazy explosion of ridiculous things going on, peace. That I can have peace. That I can follow the peace. That I don't have to worry about what's going on. I just follow the peace. I mean, okay. This sounds crazy. I didn't want to admit this. But every now and again, you know, you take the kids out and you lose one. Well, it was always the baby. It was always the youngest. Because he would climb on things and run and he would get ahead of us. And so we lost him a couple of times. And we always got him back, of course. But when you've lost a child, well, actually, when he was like 3 years old, he thought it was the most hilarious thing. How many of you have had three-year-olds or you have a three-year-old? To go hide under the clothes in the store and sit there, while you stand there like a total lunatic screaming, Kenneth! Kenneth! Johnny! And they're under the clothes giggling and they think it's hilarious. And you get them out and you don't know whether to hug them or beat their butt. So you do both. But anyway. But you know what? In the middle of that circumstance, I would always first take a moment, go with a peace. Okay, I got a peace. He's okay. We just need to figure out where he is. We'll be reunited. He's okay. Go with the peace. Peace, the Bible says, peace is our umpire. So whether it's a lost kid or whether it's some crazy stuff going on, if you hear bad news, amen, just you go with the peace. It's kind of like the guy that came and said, will you please come heal my daughter? She's dying. And then he gets a message saying, hey, don't bother her. She's dead already. And Jesus just told him, just don't say anything. I'm coming to your house. And then he kicked out all the doubters and unbelievers, and he only took the believers in with him and raised her from the dead. Praise God. So you know what? When you hear bad news, don't let negative stuff come out your mouth. It's never too late. It's never too late for a resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't believe that bad news. Just what does God say? I'm going to attach myself to that. And you know what? Even in the middle of a crisis, whatever, even if you go through the thing, even if you lose your child on Christmas Day, the Holy Ghost is still going to be there. He's going to say, trust me. Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me with your life? And you can still have peace in the middle of whatever you go through. Because we live on this earth. Things are not perfect. We go through tough things. It's life. Stuff happens. But God is the peace in the middle of any storm. And he will take you through any crisis. He'll turn it around. If it doesn't get turned around and you have to have a funeral, that's fine. He's still going to give you the peace. He's still going to give you the joy to walk it out. And then we're going to turn it around to a testimony. Because whatever the devil does to steal, kill, and destroy, God is going to turn it around to defeat him and to touch other people and to win more souls and to, hallelujah, and turn it into a testimony. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the thing is that we have the assurance and this blessed hope that we'll see her again, that I'll see you and you'll see me. We'll see each other on that other side. Thank God for that. Greatest peace knowing that. 1 John 4:4, you have got little children, have overcome them, because greater is he in you than he that's in the world. Greater is God in you. Greater is the Holy Ghost in you. Greater is the word of God in you than the devil and his minions in the world. Say this, say, I am an overcomer through him who loves me. Amen. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, in the middle of all this crisis and mess and everything going on, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why are we more than a conqueror? Because he got bloodied, he got broken, he had to go to the cross and die. We didn't have to do any of that. We're more than conquerors. All we do is believe by faith in what he did, and we receive the blessing of what he did. Hallelujah. Thank God. We are more. Say, I am more than a conqueror. Psalm 21:6, I am blessed and a blessing forever. Say that with me. I am blessed and a blessing forever. Deuteronomy 28:13, say that with me. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Praise God. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. It also goes on to say, every tongue that rises up in judgment against me, I will show to be wrong. You don't have to vindicate yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. God will vindicate you. You just keep lifting him up. Praise God. So no weapon formed against you will prosper. And then if God is for me, who can be against me? Romans 8:31. If God is for you, who can be against? How many of you have ever had a stand on that scripture? If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? And you go from fear into faith, into rejoicing, into being an overcomer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. You are not who others say you are. You are not who your parents said you are. You're not who your teachers said you are. You're not who your enemies said. You're not who that nasty kid at school said that you were or that you are. Hallelujah, if you're still at school. You're not who the devil says you are. You are who God says that you are. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you don't know who you are, you just go back and do everything I told you, and you find every scripture that pertains to you, and you begin to confess that you are. I am who God says I am. Say that with me. I am who God says I am. And so let's do that today. Let's speak life. Speak life. Speak life over every situation. Speak life. Speak God's word. Because when you speak life, you'll be speaking deliverance. You'll be speaking blessing. You'll be speaking overcoming. Amen. And what you believe, what you expect, is pretty much what you end up with. Amen. How many of you found that out? Praise God. So let's not expect bad things to happen. Let's not expect negative. When the flu comes around, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. They can all, everybody else can get whatever they want, but it's not coming to your house. Sickness and disease, not coming to your house. Amen. We don't sit there and say, well, oh, yeah, I'll be the first one to get it. No, you will not, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, when you get this revelation of confessing and speaking God's word, don't go around picking on people who don't have the revelation you have. Because a lot of times, you know, when we find out, you know, we start changing our words, we start picking on everybody else who says stuff. I mean, you know, if it's appropriate, do that. But it's better, rather help them get the revelation that you have about words. Amen. Because there's people, and we say things without even thinking, you know, I'm just dying to do this, and you know, oh, this is just killing me, and don't scare me, you know, you're going to give me a heart attack. No. We don't talk, even that. That's that idle words. That's those idle, random things you're not paying attention to, and you're just speaking that over your life. So from today, we speak life. We just, if we can't say something nice, if we can't say something positive, don't say anything at all. Sometimes it's good just don't say anything at all. Don't let anything, I mean, I learned. Going through crises, going through things, if I couldn't, you know, contribute something, if I couldn't say something positive, I would just be quiet until I could say something that was full of life and full of God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for everybody here, everybody listening, everybody watching. I thank you, Father, you're working in their life. I thank you, Father, that our minds are being renewed day by day. I thank you that Jesus has been formed in us. His image has been formed in us. And Lord, I thank you right now that whoever needs encouragement, I thank you, you encourage them today, Father, that they are who you say that they are, that they can be who you say that they are, that they don't have to be stuck where they're at or stuck with what they have. I thank you, Father, they can come out, they can be an overcomer, they can come out with even, not even the smell of smoke on themselves, like the three Hebrew boys, no matter what they're going through, you're bringing them out, you're bringing them through, excuse me, and thank you, Father. So we just speak life over every situation, Father, and even today as they go from this place, I thank you, Father, that you're working in their life, you're working in them, and Lord, thank you for making a way in every area, and we worship you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I just want us right now to bow your heads, every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody walking around now, if you don't mind. The ushers will be standing up. If you can please be seated just for a little bit. This is not the benediction. This is not the benediction. We'll do that in a little bit. Please sit down, unless you desperately have to go to the bathroom. We understand. But please, otherwise, sit down. Stay where you are, every head bowed, every eye closed, believers, in an attitude of prayer. Right now, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice, I'm going to ask you, there's three different categories of people in this place that I'm speaking to you tonight, or this morning. And if you fit into any one of these three categories, first of all, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you never made him Lord and Savior of your life, you have not been born again, I want to tell you today is your opportunity. Come and surrender your life to him. And ask him to be Lord of your life. He loves you so much. You know that you can't change yourself. You can't wait to fix yourself. You just have to come as you are. Because our righteousness is filthy rags. But Jesus wants to wash you in his blood and make you righteous. And so you just come as you are. You don't wait. You don't say, oh, I'll do it next week or next month. No, today is your day of salvation. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. He wants to wash you in his blood. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. The Bible says that 2,000 years ago, that price was paid and the blood was shed for you. There's a song that says there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And God wants to wash you clean and forgive you and forgive every sin today. He loves you so much. If you came one way, you're going to leave changed. Jesus opens up his arms to you and he says, come to me. Everybody who is who labors and is heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He wants to come and take that heavy burden from you. If you had to go from this place today and you put your head on your pillow and tonight you breathed your last breath, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you're going? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? Because there's a devil's hell to shun, but there's a heaven to gain. And you don't have to spend eternity in hell because Jesus paid that price for you. He loves you so much. Will you surrender your life today? And then the second category of people, perhaps you gave your life to Jesus, but you have not been serving Him. You turned your back on Him for whatever reason. You lost your passion, you lost your fire, you lost your joy, and you don't even know how to get it back. Perhaps it was the hidden things of the heart. Perhaps there were things that sucked you away. You got a bad attitude, maybe bitterness or anger or jealousy or lust. The things, those hidden things, those things in the heart of a person that clog you up and contaminate, have a defiling effect on your life. But today, you can be in right standing with God. You can know that you can come boldly into His throne and receive all that He has for you. You know, maybe it wasn't a hidden thing. Maybe it's something outward. Maybe it was, you know, something you did and the devil uses it against you with guilt and condemnation. And you feel like that God, you know, can't possibly accept you back. But today is a new day. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. And like that prodigal father, He's standing by and He's waiting. He's just waiting for you to come to receive you. He's not going to beat you up. He's not going to tell you what a useless person that you are. He's not going to say one word to you except, come here. And He's going to wrap His arms around you and love on you. So you can come back to Him today and He will receive you if you will just come and surrender. And then, you know, sometimes things happen to people. Sometimes they get hit with things, you know, unexpected things. They're going along, you know, fine, and then they get hit with a divorce, an unexpected divorce or a bankruptcy or a betrayal by a friend or loss of a job or, you know, financial disaster, something that just knocks the wind out your sails, like knocks you off your feet, and you just you know, you just didn't know what to do, and it just took you out. But today is your day. If you'll surrender, God will restore everything. The Bible says everything that the cankerworm and the locust has eaten, God will restore. He wants to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. He wants to restore. He wants to fill up your cup to overflowing. Praise God. And then lastly, if there's anybody here, and you love Jesus, but the devil keeps on lying to you and telling you you're not saved, well, today you can know. Today you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God and that you're going to go to heaven. You can know that today. So if you fit into any one of those categories, if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you need to be born again today. If you walked away from God, if you're not sure, right now, if that's you, I want you to quickly put your hand in the air right now. Put that hand in the air. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand in the air right now. If that's you, if that's where you're at, put your hand in the air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lift up those hands all over the place. Lift up your hands. Put them in the air, high in the air. The Bible says that if we will confess Him before men, He will confess us before the angels in heaven. Now, I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. So lift up your hand wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Right, I want everybody just to open your eyes and look at me. Now, on this side, if there's anybody that you didn't raise your hand, but you want to pray that prayer too. You want to also pray, want us to pray with you and for you. You want to receive that as well. You can also lift up your hand right now. Thank you. Anybody here, if you didn't lift up your hand yet, but you want to be part of that, you want to participate in that prayer, you want us to pray with you, put your hand up. Over on this side, if there's anybody, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands going up all over the place. And I want you to do something right now. I want you to stand to your feet. If you lifted up your hand at all, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet right now. Come on, there's people all over the place. Come, stand to your feet. Jesus loves you. He's calling you. He wants to forgive you. Come. Come forward. Step out of the aisles. Step out into the aisles. Step out of your row. And come on and come stand right here because I want to pray with you and for you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Come on. Jesus is calling to you. He loves you so much. He loves you. You can bring your belongings. Bring your belongings. And come stand here. If you brought somebody with you, you can come with them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just come now. If you lifted up your hand, if somebody near you lifted up their hand and they didn't come, just grab their hand and bring them. If there's anybody that already lifted their hand but they didn't come, you and you're sitting by them, just grab their hand and bring them. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're deciding today to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We'll wait for you. Just keep coming. If you're anywhere in the building under the sound of my voice, and you want to join, come now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Still people coming. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As they're coming, I just want to tell you that God loves you. He's there with arms wide open to welcome you. And if you mean business with God today, then He means business with you. This is a serious thing. This is your life. This is your eternity. And God loves you so much. So what I want us to do, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to lift your right hand to heaven because that's where your help comes from. And you're going to pray this prayer with me. Everybody, didn't matter what you came for, we're going to pray this same prayer. Let's say this. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I ask you now to forgive me and to wash me clean. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, that I am saved. So, Father, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, Father, that you wash me, that you cleanse me, that you change me, that you fill me, that you use me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me, that you rose from the dead for me, that you rose from the dead for me, and that you're coming back again for me. Thank you, Lord, for washing my sin away as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, Lord, that today is a new day. Father, I thank you that I receive your forgiveness right now. I believe according to your word and by faith that today I receive salvation, healing, deliverance, blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, pour it out on me. Give me everything you have for me. From this day forward, I turn my back on the devil. I turn my back on sin. And I serve you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Father, I thank you for each and every one. I thank you, Lord, you seal them by your blood and by your Holy Spirit. Lord, raise them up to be mighty men and women of God, that they may impact this generation. And I thank you, Father, that when we stand on the other side, that they'll be there, that we'll see them there, that we will see them again in heaven. And I thank you, Father, that for your blessing upon them. Lord, baptize them in your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill them up to overflowing. I thank you, Father, strengthen them. I thank you for strength and encouragement. And I thank you, Lord, that as they go, your Holy Ghost goes with them to watch over them, to lead them, to protect them, keep them in all their ways. Thank you, Lord, your angels watch over them and protect them. And no harm and evil shall come nigh unto them. And we thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord one more shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, by the power of God, by the word of the Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, I want to tell you, your sins are forgiven you today. Isn't that awesome? You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are washed clean. Praise God.
Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.